12th of January.
The talk or sermon, whatever name you want to give it today, I have got three really different points that I would like to speak about. One is, first of all, is a very brief explanation of the text and the context. The second is a closer look at the person of Jesus. And the third, a challenge from this text and the story of Christ I will be telling to us faithful who follow or say that Jesus is our Lord. So these are the three things to hope to cover, but all of these, obviously, due to time constraints, very, very briefly. To start with the text, the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, does record the event of the baptism of Christ Jesus, but John only refers to the testimony that John the Baptist gave, that he saw the Spirit of God coming upon Jesus and revealing to him that this actually is the Messiah. And in that we can say that he did mention about the baptism as well, but because the story was already well known, so he only referred to the testimony of the baptizer. If you look at the Matthew text, really and truly, there are two things which come clear. First is that how John the Baptist, that he introduced Jesus into the public ministry or into the public role as his office of the herald of Christ. And Jesus, in his turn, made his ministry public by publicly submitting himself to John's baptism. And as we read, thus fulfilling all the righteousness. Or you can, other word, say as well, that both taking to only that what the Lord has given to them. So that really and truly is the context. Now, about the life of Christ, I believe that anyone who wants to look at the life of Jesus cannot fail to notice two contrasts in his life. On the one hand, his life defies everything that power relishes. And on the other hand, at every stage of his life, something extraordinary happens to reveal that Jesus is not ordinary. If I may repeat it, that it's interesting contrast in the life of Jesus. On the one hand, everything what is power relishes or enjoys, that is defiled in Jesus' life. But on the other hand, every stage in his life, something extraordinary happens to reveal that he is no ordinary. We have been through very thoroughly the story of his birth. Birth in absolute poverty and humility. But we also did hear, we also did read, we also noticed that his birth was announced by the angels from the realms above. From there onward, then if you move into the story, then comes the presentation of Christ into the temple. Obviously, when the church calendar is, we are celebrating baptism first and presentation later, but it is 40 days after that the purification of Mary that Christ was presented to God in the temple, as was the law or the custom that every firstborn to be dedicated to the Lord. When the parents brought Jesus into the temple, Everything spoke aloud that he came from the poverty. How? In the book of Leviticus, in the Old Testament, that when a woman had her purification and brought her son to be presented to God, the gift, number one choice, was the lamb. And if the word says, and if you can't afford, then a pair of pigeons or doves. What did Jesus' parents bring? Pair of doves or pigeons. That tells from the poverty. Yet, on that very public occasion, we read a man named Simeon, moved by the Spirit, went into the temple. He took Jesus into his arms, praised God, and said, Sovereign Lord, you, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And as we know the story, actually, a fresh start, we were going through that part of Jesus' story, that while Jesus was about 2 years old, running around perhaps with his mates, everybody thinking just an ordinary child, but suddenly the wise men come from the east to worship him, to reveal him to the nations, as we read in our Acts passage, that he did not come only for a group of people, but for all the nations. Next step, of course, in his life and ministry is today's event, the baptism of Christ. And as we read that he went to the baptizer like any other human being, those who were coming to him. But as he approached the baptizer, it became obvious that Jesus was not an ordinary. As we read, that Jesus tried, John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me to be baptized? And I would like you to please notice, if you read Matthew chapter 3, before what I read today to you, before that, you will see that leaders of the nation were coming to be baptized by John, and John was reluctant to baptize them because he felt or questioned that if they were worthy to be baptized. But look, the change, the contrast. Suddenly, standing in the River Jordan, approaches Jesus Christ, and it is not the other, but he, the baptizer, feels, I am not worthy to baptize you. Did you get it? First, he saw that people were not worthy to be baptized, certain people, religious people, but here comes Christ, and he is that I am not worthy to baptize. The story of Jesus, of course, continues even on that particular event. And I have often wondered, Jesus was looking very ordinary person. And when John was having this dialogue with Christ Jesus, what did people think of it? Maybe some thought, come on, John, what is the fuss? He is one like us. Go ahead, baptize. And perhaps it is for those sort of people, we read that as Jesus came out from the water, and Mark says, the heavens were torn, and the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in a physical shape. It is referred to as dove. And again, I would like you to notice, why did Holy Spirit come on Jesus in the shape of dove? Why was it? Could it be just possible God was reminding people something of the past, what happened. When Noah's flood came, he released a dove to go out. And what happened? Dove returned to him with what? With having a fresh branch in his or her mouth. Could it be possible that God demonstrating that in Christ Jesus, the new era has begun, new life is here for all to take, all to enjoy? No ordinary person, extraordinary, or more than even extraordinary. The story of Jesus' life, the work of our salvation story, will obviously be completed on Easter, and I guess that me or Becky will be talking about Easter and that part of the story. But between now and Easter, pay attention, all the readings from today onward, they actually pose a challenge to the faithful. And in that challenge, I noticed there are six different things. And be assured, I won't be too much unpacking those, otherwise we will be sitting for a very long time. Six different challenges are today's reading, and the reading which will lead us to Easter do pose to us, the faithful, who claim that I belong to Christ. And those six are: repent, reconcile, resist, reform, rekindle, reveal. What do I mean by that? First, take the repentance. Repent. Look, the invitation, even to Cornelius and all those people, invitation everywhere. God wants you, but the way forward is repent. Forgive me if I sound a bit not very polite. I often, and that is included, first of all, me, that I often say to myself that I wonder if church, and I don't mean St. Mary's Church, church as a whole, if we really and truly live the life of repentant people, what the church would be. One of the prayers I often do here in this church, in other churches, is begging to God, crying to God for unity within the body of Christ. But if we live a life of people who are truly repentant, will there be any division? And you know that yesterday, when I was walking from Barbara and Paul, we cried together, left them crying. I came back crying home, towards my home. And this came to my mind, that, you know, that wouldn't it be good that when we say sorry, and when those we use the words, against you, O God, or against my neighbor, give us the grace that we may mean we always settle our accounts, because you don't know when the end is going to be. And this is not the only one news. In this week, I have heard other news as well. Some of you have heard as well. Young people, not at all expected, not at all yet of that age, to go, but they are going to go. How important that when we repent, we truly mean it towards God, towards our brothers and sisters. And the second, reconcile. Of course, the whole purpose of God's coming, Christ coming into the world, was that we are reconciled. Reconciled with one another and reconciled to God. And may God give us the grace, once again I repeat, that to remove all those divisions and truly be reconciled, and also to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the third, what will be coming again and again in readings, is to resist. Jesus, look, when he came out from the water, look, the demonstration. There is man saying, me? baptize you? God saying from heaven, this is my beloved son. But the moment he walks away from that place, the devil is on his back. He even needed to learn to resist. And so his brothers and sisters, we need to learn to resist. There is always a temptation. The devil is always there. And the greatest of temptation is to bring the self in the middle. And may God give us the grace always to put the Son on the cross and Christ on the throne. And the fourth, the next one is reform. Be reformed. Reform, hope for the reform even beyond ourselves. It is being Christ-like in the society and in the world. You know that Becky can speak thousands and thousands of words from here, but one act like Christ out there will speak much louder than all these words. And I can guarantee you that. I do know it is often the quietest people in your churches that somebody in the street stops you and says, I have met Christ, what you preach. Where did you meet him? In that person in your congregation. And I stand in awe because they are hardly even people who are noticed. God may give us the strength to be Christ-like in the world. Next is to rekindle. Look what happened just recently in the world. Look what is happening, the natural disasters. Look the apathy, even in spite of one party winning the majority, that what is coming into our country, to our society, to our world. So much to take the hope away. So much to bring the darkness. But in every generation, Christ's church is encouraged or invited to rekindle a flame of hope. And may God give us the grace that instead of cursing the darkness, we may spread the light of Christ, shine for him, rekindle the candle of hope. And last but not least, reveal. You look at the ministry of John the Baptist, you look at the visitation of the wise men, you look at the ministry of the godly people in the temple, you look at the ministry of the poor shepherd, you look at the ministry of Peter as we read in the Acts, what was it? Everybody's joy was to reveal that Christ has come. And that is, my brothers and sisters, our responsibility as church, to reveal to the world that Christ is here. He wants to stretch his hand to heal everybody, to invite everyone to be reconciled to God. He wants to give hope to all those who are without. He wants to give power to all who cannot, even they can resist the devil. And we have that ministry to give those good news to people. May God give us the strength, pour his Spirit upon us, that we may be truly witnesses of Christ. Amen.